Welcome to the Just Music Podcast. This is your host, Jalen. Marco is not on this episode, but we have a really, really cool guest, a guest that is up in the northern part of the United States, kind of like Midwest, near Midwest. He is a music producer. He is also a podcast host, and his name is Anthony Church. He is the host of his podcast, Proven Knowledge. It's a pleasure to have you on, man. How are you?
Man, absolutely. And like I said, I'm happy to be here. And thanks again for getting back with me and wanting me to be on this show. And like I said, I've been checking out you guys for the last couple months now since we got in touch. So happy to be here, man. I'm excited for this. So,
yeah, man. And to the listeners, just to give some context. So we met Anthony through... did you send us an email or was it through Instagram? I can't even remember, but you reached out to us.
I found you guys on Instagram and then I saw the email attached. So I think I just sent an email then after that.
Yeah.
I'm usually like hesitant on the DMs. I'm like, I could send that, but I don't always know if people check their DMs.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me just try the email first, see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then I think you guys got back pretty quickly. So, which
yeah.
Is nice.
But, yeah. Yeah. We don't like to keep people on read or delivered too long, so yeah. But yeah, we answer email and DM, so either one we would have saw it. But no, that's
good.
Awesome. Yeah. But that's awesome that you reached out to us, man, and that you're not even in our region of the country. You're up in Ohio, right? So
yeah
man, it's really cool how, you know, the internet allows us to really connect with one another even though we may be in totally different locations. And yeah, so we met through email and then we was like, hey, I like your content. I like your content. Let's collab. And here we are, man. So, you know, kind of give an introduction of who you are, you know, where you're from and you know, what led to you pursuing a path in music and also your podcast.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm from Northeast Ohio, not too far from Cleveland. I'm like 40 minutes south of Cleveland. I usually will tell people I live around Cleveland because they don't know like the town I live in. No one's heard of it. But yeah, I'm from up here and I've been doing music now since 2016. So going on 8 years next year when I started. I started right out of high school. I pretty much used my really from eighth grade until like senior year of high school. I used that as like my study years to study music. Figure out what production was. I knew that I wanted to do something like that because I was a fan of hip hop, but I knew I couldn't rap for shit. So I was like, I'm not going to rap. I can't sing. I'm not good like vocally. So maybe I could slide in there and like see what I could do. So I started studying production, what that was, and, you know, started listening to certain producers. And from there, once I got into community college, I was pretty much using like the time in between classes to make beats and things like that. We went on a senior, I'll backtrack a little bit. We went on a senior trip, me and a couple of buddies, once we graduated to California. And this is where we kind of got inspired to make music. So me and my one friend, we agreed that I would make the beats for him and he would rap. We still work together today. His name is Jay Trey. I produced all of his albums over the last like 7-8 years at this point. And, once we got back to Ohio, we just haven't stopped ever since. We just continued to work. And from there, for me, at least, it led to, you know, doing more online collaboration because I knew living in a small town, it was going to be difficult to get everything off the ground just from here without having an online presence. So I started just putting beats online after a couple years, eventually led to releasing my own music, collabing with a lot of different artists. And that's how I've just built my network over the years through social media. And then around the time of the pandemic is when the podcast happened. And me and my buddy, we had already done the podcast in kind of a different way. Like we used to talk about movies, TV, like a bunch of different forms of media. But I realized that music is kind of the centric theme of the brand Proven Knowledge, which we started. And Proven Knowledge is basically, you know, using your heart and your mind, your logical and emotional sides together in unison as a creative. And that's really like how you get your best results. So that's kind of what the whole brand stands for. If you see the logo, it's a heart and a mind like combined. That's really what it's all about. So I took that and I was like, let me do this podcast, started reaching out to the people, the artists that I was connected with, asked them, you know, hey, would you like to be interviewed on this show? And I'm trying to do like an episode every week, and got overwhelming response. Got a lot of people tell me yes. And then from there, it's been the last three and a half years at this point, of just doing podcasts every week, different interviews. And it's not just artists, it's engineers, producers. I've had some other people in the music industry as well. So that's been a whole endeavor that I never thought I would get into, but it just kind of happened on a whim, like during the pandemic, and just kept it going. And that's led to a lot of opportunities, but always kept music around, even before I started making it, and always had it involved in my life. I think I always will in some form of capacity, but that's really what the last, you know, 7 going on 8 years has been for me, and why, you know, this whole time has just been such a centric part of my life. Finally finding like what I feel is my purpose, how I can give back to society. So that is kind of a good summary, I think, of everything that's gone on.
No, absolutely. That was, I love the story and how personal and how detailed and how sincere it was. Like, what you said about one, starting with the podcast, and how, you know, you had no interest in really doing that. That's really the same thing for me. I tell people all the time, and Marco and I, we were just like you. We started the podcast in 2020, and at the time, I never thought about doing a podcast, had no interest in it. And Marco, he texted me one day, or he called me one of the two, and he said, "Hey, we should start a podcast." And I was like, "Okay, how do we do that?" And, you know, fast forward to 3 years later, you know, so many opportunities, so many people that we've met and have been able to connect with and talk to, and people that we've inspired and people that we've learned from. It really is. It's been a fun ride and a fun journey. And, you know, also want to talk a little bit more about your music career. So I know you said you've really been doing music, getting into music production since 2016. And you said you really, really enjoy hip hop. So who are some of your favorite producers that you go to for like inspiration?
Yeah. So when I started out, I was studying a lot of people like Swizz Beatz, Timbaland, Kanye, a lot of the people that were big names at the time that I was like, oh, I've heard these people either on the radio or I've heard songs that they did on the radio. When you start looking at the liner notes of albums, I used to go on Wikipedia to some old albums and just look at like the production credits and just start reading those and get familiar with certain names, things like that. Hit-Boy, definitely. He's a person that I would say I learned a lot from in production, because, you know, I followed his work from that time all the way up until what he's doing now. And he's had such a consistent run. That's also one of the main reasons I started using FL Studio. Because I saw he used it, and Boy Wanda, who works with Drake, he uses it. A lot of other producers use that. So I looked at that and I was like, maybe I could learn that too. And I just started watching YouTube tutorials and different beat making videos and just learned how to use it. It's really evolved though, as far as like who I've been listening to. And I think once I started producing, I wanted to study more of the intricacies of like instrumentals and things like that. I really didn't get into like J Dilla until I was almost done with high school. So I knew about him, I knew about his work, but I wasn't like super on it. And then when I started getting into the production world, I was like, let me study like people like Dilla. Apollo Brown is a producer right now who is one of my favorite producers. There's so many names I could name, but as far as like when I was starting out, it was definitely the Timbalands, Swizz Beatz, those types of people that were the big names that had a lot of plays on the radio and things like that. And they were just had their hands in a lot of everything. And they really inspired me to want to do it. I read Timbaland's autobiography that was called The Emperor of Sound. I read that in senior year of high school when I actually had got put in suspension because I was skipping too much school. So the guy told me, he's like, if you're here on Friday, you'll be here on Monday, so make sure you bring something to do. So I went on Amazon, I ordered that book, and then I remember reading that, and that really inspired me, just hearing his story and how he kind of came from being someone that kind of beat the odds a little bit in his personal life, and then led him to be able to have a music career and do all the things that we see him do today. So that was like a huge moment for me. And then that was the year I began producing. So it's just like little things like that and studying all these people. And I just continue to try and find new producers, people that I'm a fan of their sound, and just, you know, take notes from what they do, apply it to what I do, and try to do my own thing. But just keep an eye and ear out for what's going on in the producer community too. That's a big thing. So.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of those producers that you name, you know, I have a major respect for. Some of them, my favorites as well, like Timbaland and I mean, Kanye West. And, you know, I'm pretty much like you. I mean, I've been involved in music since I was 12. So I am a musician first. So I started learning trombone when I was like 12 years old. I did band, and then I did marching band and all that in high school. And then started teaching myself bass guitar at 16. And then when I got to college, that's where Marco and I met, College of Charleston, down here in Charleston, South Carolina. And then I took 2 years worth of piano classes. And then in 2018, I started learning or teaching myself music production. And I love music production a lot. I just love the idea of, you know, taking an assortment of sounds and putting it all together to create this body of work that, you know, not only sounds great and that you want to listen to, but other people want to listen to as well. And then, you know, they feel something from that, whether it makes them happy, sad, it makes them want to dance or get in the gym, whatever. I think that's just, there's nothing like it. And I'm more of an R&B producer. Not to say I haven't produced hip hop tracks before. I mean, I put out a beat tape earlier this year, and there's some hip hop inspired tracks on that. But like some of the producers that I studied a lot or still study to this day when it comes to the music that I like to produce, like Drake's producer, Noah 40, who I believe doesn't always get enough credit when it comes to, you know, just that decade of music, and still to this day, because I mean, Drake is still putting out music still putting out hits, but you know, his work, and then also people like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, some legends from like the 80s and 90s to even you know, Bruno Mars and D-Mal, and you know, their work with Silk Sonic and mm-hmm. other artists. And of course, Bruno Mars himself with his own music, and then other producers, like I can go on and on. Like lately I've been studying a lot of Devante Swing from Jodeci from like the 90s. So yeah, music production is something that it is definitely an art, but it's also a science as well. There's a lot of detail that goes into it in understanding, you know, the nuances in overall just understanding that at the end of the day, you're making music, and you have to be able to, you know, one, know what it is that you're trying to achieve, and then two, knowing what you need to make that idea come to life. That's one of the things that I love about music production. So yeah, and I'm gonna have to check out your buddy's music as well. We'll include one of his songs. Well, is his music on Spotify?
Yeah, his music's on Spotify. We're actually dropping a song on January 5th. It's kind of like the kickoff to the run that we have, because we got a lot of new music coming. So that would probably be a good one.
Because we'll include one of his songs in our Spotify playlist. We always do this with artists that have music on Spotify. Excuse me. But I know you're a producer. Are you also a musician, or is it just strictly the production side?
Yeah. So I, the only thing I've ever tried to play was I took guitar lessons when I was a kid, and I gave it up super fast because I had no patience for it. Yeah. And it's funny because like the only other like musically inclined thing that I was a part of was being in choir, like for middle school, high school. I didn't like that either. So it's like to even say that I'm like doing this now is kind of crazy because people probably would have never guessed that before. So I really didn't have anything to do with like making music for a long time. And when I tried, just didn't go too well. I don't know. I just stuck with it. And it kind of goes back to what you were just saying about like, I agree with that stance of like, you have to, music production is like combining the emotional sides and inspirational sides with the technical sides. So it's like, for me, for whatever reason, the ease of access in music production was a lot better for me to get my foot in the door. You know what I mean? As opposed to like learning everything. I'm super jealous of people like you that can learn the instruments, they can do all these things, and then they can still do production. I'm like, my brain capacity can't even hold that. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I don't think I could make it that far, but like, will I learn an instrument one day? Maybe. I'm not going to close myself off to it and always want to like leave myself open to trying new things. But I think it was just when I started out, I looked at music production as more of the way that made sense for me to get my foot in the door and start creating and eventually start working and connecting with people. About R&B too, like you were saying, I've actually been focusing more on R&B for what I've been doing with like working with artists. I've been trying to work with more singers because I'm just straight up fed up with working with rappers, to be honest. Like, a lot of rappers are just annoying to me, and they just annoy the hell out of me. So I found that working with singers is just a lot better. Like, I still work with certain rappers and MCs, like if they're respectful and like I enjoy working with them or I already have a relationship with them. But for some reason, like, I just enjoy working with singers more. I think they take it more seriously too, to an extent, than rappers do. But so like, I have a BeatStars. What I've been doing primarily the last like year and a half over there is just R&B stuff. Like, I've been focusing more on that side of things. And then when I have collabs with people, I might try more experimental stuff too. Like, I've been doing more chill hop, some jazz influenced stuff. Just try to like get more diverse with it too. But I definitely will always have the hip hop side like infused into everything as well. But yeah, I think that's just kind of where it's at. Like, rappers, just even trying to deal with like getting them to just be on the same page or like understand how you work is sometimes difficult, but it really just is on a case by case basis. So,
yeah, I think, and I think this is, you know, just for some artists in general, not just hip hop, but like the relationship between the artist and producer has to be so strong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the producer is going to be a kind of like a bridge between what the artist wants and what the music needs, right? And you know, that's why like some of the greatest artist producer duos, like, I mean, in hip hop, Jay-Z and Kanye West, I mean, such great chemistry. And then also, Drake and 40, Metro Boomin, 21 Savage, you know what I'm saying? And there's other people that I'm thinking of. I just can't think of their names. Tyler, the Creator and Tyler, the Creator. but you know, like the chemistry and the respect and the mutual interest has to be there. Because if not, you know, the artist could be thinking one way and the producer's thinking a totally different way. And then there's too much clashing. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw out a question that a statement that you may agree with, because I said this on another podcast episode that we released, I don't even know, like a month ago or so, when I was talking to a guest. But studying the music, like really studying your craft, is so, so important as an artist and a producer. And I don't think enough artists and music makers in general do that. You know, it's kind of like, and I don't know, maybe that could be maybe possibly what you're referencing when you say, you know, working with certain artists and it's just not working. It's just not, nothing sticks. But, you know, I've found that, you know, some people don't necessarily take the craft as serious as they should, and therefore them not being happy with the result that they may get.
Yeah. I think honestly, it's a little bit of all those things. I think it also starts with just being, like you said, being on the same page, because I personally don't want to work with anyone that I am not a fan of, or I just can't get along with, because that just doesn't make sense. What I like to do and what I started doing in the last like 2 years is getting on calls with people beforehand. And a big thing that I've done is even having people on the podcast to interview them first and like learn more about them as a person and a musician, but mostly as a person, to see like, are we even similar people? Could we even have potential to work together? And then from there, you know, we decide like, hey, you feel good, and be like, do you feel the same? You want to kind of try and work towards something? And depending on if they're even in the mood for making music at that point, you know, we could talk about doing something. But I think it's all about timing. It's all about just meeting the right people. Like, so many things have to line up for it to even get off the ground. And then who knows, if you make a lot of music together, you might not put any of that stuff out. So it's like, I think people, they might not understand like the process of it, but they also might just want to skip steps or just try to work with everybody when it doesn't work. So you got to be real with yourself and just say, this probably isn't going to work. I should probably just not try it. You know what I mean? And you can still have respect for that person too, and they can do their own thing. It doesn't have to be like feuding or any type of beef or anything like that. It's just like, sometimes it's just not the right situation. Everybody's not for everybody. You know what I mean? So I think at the end of the day, you just got to ask yourself, like, what do you want out of this? And, you know, if it aligns with that person and you guys feel good, go ahead. But if it doesn't, don't be afraid to walk away and just do what's right for you. Definitely been learning that a lot more in the last year. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, it, because The Weeknd said this in an interview, you know, sometimes, you know, you get in the studio with certain people and, you know, y'all are excited to make music together, but then, you know, nothing really happens. And it's just like, let's just stay friends, man. You know, yeah. No hard feelings. There's nothing against you. It's just, you know, we don't really mesh when it comes to the creative process, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong. But yeah. And what you said about how, you know, making sure the person that you're working with, you know, is a decent person, you know what I'm saying? Like, good person. Like, nobody wants to work with someone who's just aggravating, who's an asshole. Like, nobody wants to work with them. So yeah, I really like what you said about that as well. And, you know, being on the same page in studying, you know, your craft and knowing what you got to do to get the result that you want. So yeah, I'm all for what you just said. And, you know, so then with the podcast, you know, I was listening to the very first episode, and, you know, y'all have 184 episodes right now, which is very, very cool, very, very impressive, very respectable as well. And y'all have had a number of different artists come on y'all's podcast. And what I like and appreciate the most is how, you know, y'all are similar to us in where, you know, you really give other people the platform to not only talk about their music and express themselves, but to be themselves. And, you know, which I think is always great, not just when you have a podcast, but just in general, when you're connecting with people. Right. So and I love how you said with the podcast, how, you know, even the logo has meaning behind that. And, you know, the expression, the creativity of it. So talk a little bit more about the podcast and, you know, how maybe that has made you better when it comes to connecting with artists and working with other artists.
Yeah. So I actually, I talked about something similar on a podcast I did like a month ago. We were talking about how doing podcasting actually helps you in your day-to-day life overall as like a human being, because it allows you to have conversations with other people more frequently than you probably would, you know, just on a day-to-day basis. For me, I've always looked at myself as more of an introvert. I'm not very social. I don't really go out on like a Friday night to a bars or anything. I'm kind of just in the house making music when I can. I would say if I leave the house, it's because I want to, not because I need to, you know, usually most of the time. So for me, it's really helped, you know, just being able to develop more people skills. And I look at that even outside of music in general. It's like, I've seen the progress just being able to talk to different individuals. And I think because, you know, like you said, there's been so many different types of artists and people, it's like you get a real feel for, you know, the different types of personalities that are out there. Cause sometimes you'll get a guest that might not want to talk too much. You can tell they're kind of reserved. You kind of got to pull some things out of them a little bit. You kind of got to work harder to get those answers. Other people, they'll talk your leg off. You know, you got to, you might have to limit your questions because it's like they got so much information to give you. So it's just hit or miss every week. But I could safely say I've never had like a bad conversation overall. And I've only had a few people that it didn't work out where we didn't even end up interviewing them. Hardly any, maybe one or two. The past few years, I've been super blessed to be able to meet people that genuinely appreciate the platform. I am a fan of their music or what they do. We just have a great conversation. So I think just overall for me, it's helped just develop more skills for me as a human being than anything, even outside of music. But being able to talk about music is the reason it works. Because if I had to talk about something I didn't care about, it wouldn't work. Because it's like there's a disconnect there. It's just like any type of other job. It would just be like, I'm only doing this because I have to. I do the podcast because I want to, because I care about music. I'm a fan. I make it. It's a part of my life. And I also like to extend opportunities to people and help where I can. It's one form of giving back that I can do that I feel like I'm good at. So I'm like, I just do this because I enjoy doing it. And other people listen to it and other people like it. So just being able to make it about music is really what keeps it going at the end of the day. But overall, it's been nothing but good to come out of it. So I definitely want to keep it going and keep evolving it over time and just keep meeting new great people. So,
yeah, 100%, man. I'm with you all the way on that. Like it's easier to connect with people when y'all have something in common, you know, it's easier to connect with people when y'all find something that y'all are both passionate about, that y'all relate to. Excuse me. And sometimes, you know, and a lot of times that's the seed that, you know, grows into a friendship or a partnership or a relationship. It's just those small things that go a long way and can turn into something big. So yeah, man, we got a little bit more time. I wanted you to talk. So some of your favorite, I know you've talked about some of your favorite producers, but who are some of your favorite artists? You know, it can be hip hop, it can be R&B, experimental.
Man, so that's another thing that's kind of grown over the years. Cause like I said, I used to just be like, from the time I was like 9 or 10 years old, I was just a hip hop head. And I was the only one in my whole family that even listened to hip hop. Like I was kind of the weird person out of the whole family, but like always gravitated towards it. One of my first favorite artists was Lupe Fiasco. I had the game called NBA Live 07 and there was a song Kick Push on that game on the soundtrack. And I was like, what is this? This song's great. Like the beat is great. I've always been a fan of Lupe. I think he's, I don't want to say slept on, but like, I feel like he doesn't get mentioned in like some of the all time greats. Cause like lyrically, and just the way that he puts together rhymes is so unique from like anything I've ever heard. You might have to break open a thesaurus or a dictionary to figure out what he's talking about most of the time. But it's like, if you like the thought provoking stuff, Lupe has definitely always been someone I've respected. Jay-Z, obviously someone that I actually got to see Jay-Z on the 444 tour a few years ago, which was super cool. That was like a once in a lifetime thing. Kanye as an artist, I not a huge fan of Kanye's like the last like 4 or 5 years of his music. I always love his production. I do like a lot of the older Kanye stuff. But Kanye was definitely, you know, when I was, like I said, 9 or 10, I always looked at his music like, you know, he's someone I respect. Wale, I think, is another person that doesn't get mentioned a lot. I think I always like Wale because he had diversity in his discography. Like if you look back at his early mixtapes, it was a lot of just like conscious hip hop, things like that. And even when he does like radio songs and things like that, or he does, you know, different types of genres, I'm just like, he always does things at a high level. Always been a fan of his, and there's just so many people, but like, even just the last few years, I've delved more into R&B, and just listening to that side. Cause like I said, I'm trying to work more with R&B artists. So just studying like what's been going on. You mentioned D-Mile, who's a producer. He's probably, in my eyes, he's the best R&B producer that there is, at least the last like 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Snow Allegra is an artist who he worked with, who I'm a big fan of. Alina Baraz, she's from Cleveland. So I've been a big fan of her music. Aaron Ray. There's a lot of people. It's just like trying to think of all of them. But yeah, I think it's just, I've always been a fan of hip hop and the artists, and just even the stuff I'm not a fan of, I still will just like look at it and be like, okay, I know this is going on. Like certain styles of trap or certain, you know, trends that are going on. Just look at certain artists and just be like aware of what's happening, you know, even if you're not a fan of it, and just watching it grow over time. But just studying different genres in the last few years, just because I am a producer, trying to do new things on my own and just, you know, continue to study. And like you said about being a student of the craft, is just, you want to keep finding new things. It never stops. And there's always a lot of music out there, and you're always going to find new things that you enjoy. So that's really what it's been for me. But
yeah, man. And you said a lot of like some of the rappers that you like, Jay-Z. I mean, one of the GOATs, if not the GOAT. and Kanye West, I mean, just legendary. And even Wale, I was never really a huge Wale fan, but he has some songs that I really do like. And he sometimes gets forgotten, but you know, he has some very quality hits, and he's also a talented rapper. And Lupe Fiasco, lyrically skilled, gifted, just on another level. And NBA Live 07, I had that game too. That was a great one.
Yeah, I think that soundtrack had a lot of people. It had like Todd Qualley.
Oh yeah,
Mims was on there. Like a ton of people were on that soundtrack.
The soundtrack was spectacular. It was awesome. And then D-Mile. I found out about D-Mile through, I think, was it? So I found out about D-Mile, I don't want to say through Silk Sonic, but I want to say through Lucky Day, because he's like Lucky Day guy. And then he's worked with, you know, Alina Baraz. I think you mentioned Snow Allegra. He's worked with her. He's worked with, I think he's also worked with Ari Lennox. He's even worked with Bruno Mars before they made that Silk Sonic album. I mean, Victoria Monet. I mean, just so many. He's like, and I think R&B producers don't get enough credit nowadays. You know, everybody's so like tuned into the hip hop producers, which is great. But the R&B producers like D-Mile, and Bruno Mars also, and, you know, even other R&B producers. Like, I would say, I mean, 40 is more of hip hop, but he also has R&B and R&B swagger in a lot of his beats as well. And there's some other people that I'm thinking about, but I can't.
You ever heard of Business Boy?
I'm gonna have to check them out.
He's got a lot of R&B production. He's kind of like D-Mile, where he has his hands in a lot of different people's breadbasket. He kind of produces a lot of different people. His style is more modern R&B, though, because as D-Mile is more traditional R&B for the most part. I'd say Business Boy is more modern R&B. He kind of delves into some different things, but he's always been someone I looked at as like, not a lot of people know him, but he does so many cool things with so many cool artists. So, yeah.
Boy
is spelled B-O-I. B-I-Z-N-E-S-S-B-O-Y.
Word. I'm going to definitely look him up. Oh,
yeah.
Leon Thomas. I cannot.
Oh.
Yeah, we cannot end this without mentioning, like, Leon Thomas. I mean, he's been.
Rascals.
Yeah, ever since he was a little kid, you know. From, what was the name of that movie? I cannot
remember. He was in that show on Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
Victorious. Victorious, yeah.
And then to now, like, he's just incredible, man. He's an inspiration for sure. But we got a little bit more time, man. Anything else you wanted to add before we get out of here? It was a pleasure having you on, man.
Yeah, man. I like being able to just talk about, you know, music and artists and people like that. But no, I mean, just, you know, going to be continuing the podcast all of 2024. Next week is like my week off, so I'm not dropping an episode. But after that, I'll be back to dropping every week. I got a lot of music coming out in the new year, doing some collabs with artists, putting out another instrumental EP and then another album like the second half of next year. So just be on the lookout for like a lot of music from me. Should be kind of cool, and just trying to keep everything consistent and keep it growing. But I gotta say, you know, I appreciate you guys once again for, you know, having me on, and I enjoyed it. And you know, anytime you want me to come back, just let me know. So I'm happy to do that.
Of course, man. Like we tell all our guests, once you come on the podcast, you're always welcome back. Thank you, man, for coming on. To the listeners of the Just Music Podcast, thank y'all so much for supporting us. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at JUS Music Podcast. Y'all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We will see y'all in 2024. Stay tuned.